The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you again on your Sunday as we head into the Christmas season. It's unbelievable that it's almost here, and it is coming at a rapid rate. But before we get there this morning, I'd just like to share with you just a couple things as we end up to the end of this year. And one of them is we are going to start a new teaching series in Vital Men. And it's going to be exciting. It's going to be something new. And maybe some of you guys out there that are listening to me, and we also, too, we're in six different locations throughout South Central Iowa, and we are also going to reopen our Newton location as well after the first year. But this is the teaching. This is what we're going to be talking about, is building your life on values that last. And we're going to be talking about 10 values that we as men, and you can use it too as family and as a husband and wife, but these values are something that will last forever. And these 10 things that we always want to keep in the forefront of our lives as we live out our everyday lives. So we just encourage you men, we're going to get started back up the second week of January. We have, again, six different locations. You can go to the vitalministries.org webpage and look out and see those different places to where you can get what I would say just an opportunity to transform your lives and also too to give something I think that will last a lifetime. So you're not going to want to miss this next new teaching. And also too, at the end of the year, I want to remind everybody, you know what? Year in giving. We could use your help. It's like every year, it's always a battle. It's just an opportunity to where you can give. First, we want you to give to your church first. Be faithful there. But if you have some extra and you would like to look at a ministry that needs donations to continue its way, you know what, folks? We would love for you to help us out. You can go to the vitalministries.org webpage and hit the donate button. Or also, too, we have a P.O. box right here in Oskaloosa that you can send to us as well. Just an opportunity to bless us and also to be a blessing to the ministry, as hopefully that this is something that inspires you and something that's just a blessing on your part. But maybe today you're traveling down the highway. You are on a journey. You are maybe actually you're headed on to a vacation destination. And we just want to thank you for listening and being part of your Sunday. Also to those of you, I know many of you listen on your way to church. I want to say thank you for being faithful and to listening to us as we continue our teaching series as Too Busy for Christmas. And also, too, maybe this is your church service here at home, and you listen on every week. We just want to thank you for listening and being a participant of Vital Ministries and also, too, of this teaching series as we're on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio dial. And we just want to thank you for the radio station here in Oskaloosa for partnership with us, to allowing us to be on the air, and also, too, to send out the good news of the gospel. That is always our hope. But we are in week number 3 in our teaching series, Too Busy for Christmas. It's hard to believe it's December 15th and only 10 days before Christmas. Hopefully that doesn't create an anxious note for you or panic in your life, but it's all but here. It's the countdown has, folks, it is here. It's getting down to the wire, and I just hope that the gifts that you're purchasing and the destinations that you're traveling are ways that are being safe. But for my wife and I, we're headed to Plantation, Florida. We actually leave on Christmas Eve Day to see my son and his wife and our 4 grandkids. We have never been to Florida at this time of year, but we are excited about heading down and seeing them. And my son tells me, Dad, make sure you pack maybe a light jacket at best, maybe bring a pair of shorts, and definitely have short sleeve shirts. Our temperature down here is around 70 degrees. So, We're looking forward to that escape, especially this time of year. But many of you listeners might be traveling over the holiday season. But here's my hopes as we travel, that we don't overlook the people around us, that we get too busy in the destination, and that we actually miss people along the way. This past week at Vital Men, we had a homeless man show up as we were getting ready to leave. Our night was concluding, and there was just a few guys that were hanging around, visiting and talking. And that night, the lows were around 12 degrees that evening. But this man had spent many nights, he shared with us, as he sleeps and tries to find warm spots in buildings or in the alleyways or maybe even in a shed. And I could tell from speaking with him that he was a man that has lost hope and without a doubt direction in his life. But we took compassion on him. We gave him a night in a motel here locally, I encouraged him, you got a night for a warm bed, you can take a warm shower, and one of the gentlemen that was with us that night, he graciously took him out and got him some supper, and it was a short-term fix. But we showed compassion and tried to tell him about Christ's love. And many will say, well, Mike, why did you do that? What really good happened out of that moment? For me, to be honest with you, it was a way to possibly show a little Christmas love. And to be honest, it was good for my own heart. I found that at Christmas comes each year, we're told that we need to buy more, hurry more, and get a better deal. And for me, it was simply that moment of setting apart to where I could really invest in another person and simply show compassion in dealing with things as this Christmas season is upon us. But I absolutely don't think that this Christmas is or what was ever truly what has ever been designed, because as we look at it being so busy. And again, I don't want to be a naysayer in the Christmas holidays, but in my mind, the first Christmas had a sense of what I would say awe. And I believe that God sent angels to a bunch of men who loved sheep and were considered to be outcasts of the society. Yet God, in all His sovereignty and His grace, He sends angels to these men. They were not busy men in anxious moments, but rather busy men simply doing their job on a hillside on a starry evening. Have you ever wondered why God told the shepherds first? My hope today is that we get a better glimpse of how these men did life and these men tended and lived with their sheep. Sheep lose their way quickly, don't they? They can't defend themselves. They get sick easy, and they fall. If they fall on their backs, it causes them they can't get back up, and it takes a shepherd, another person to help these sheep get back up. Sounds like a lot like us, isn't it? When we get down on our own backs in similar situations. But let's look at what the Bible says this morning that actually happened on that starry night. And if you're at home today, we're going to be looking at the book of Luke. And we're going to look at point number one for us this morning is that God sees in man what we can't see. And let's look at Luke chapter 2. Verses 8 through 12 as we get started this morning. And this is what the Bible says. It says, "The night there were shepherds staying in their fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel assured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news with great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find him, the baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, laying in a manger.'" That's where the story begins for the shepherds. But we see God sending his angel to the shepherds who got their sheep bedded down for the night. They can only imagine how that starry night must have been. They're counting the sheep, making sure each one is accounted for, and they know every blemish of everything that's on that sheep because they know their sheep, because they're their shepherd. They even know their sheep's tone. And when you spend a 24/7 with an animal, you actually get to know them very much like you do a human, and that became part of their family. Now, when I look at the story, you'll notice that God didn't send an angel to important religious people first, not the wealthy, nor to what I would call the well-educated or learned men. No, he went straight to the shepherds. He knew that these men would appreciate and love his son. These men would be in time to be the first to get the glimpse of the Savior of the world and be forever changed in their lives. And I always find it so interesting how God always goes to those that are the unnoticed, the obscurity of people themselves, and shows his radiance, his glory, and gives them an opportunity to know that they're loved and they're very cared for. This past week, I had the opportunity to go and spend my Sunday at the Newton Correctional Facility. I go in the first Sunday of every month with three other men, and it's a To be honest with you, it's a highlight of my month. I know that these men and these men know me as well, that as we go into that prison facility. And I told them at the very beginning, as we were getting started this morning, that we wish that we could actually come in and bring gifts for them, but not obviously in the prison system, that you don't get to do that. So the only gift that we could bring to them was God and also us. Our worship leader, Dale, he does an amazing job with a guitar in his voice, and the Holy Spirit is always moving within him. And generally speaking, I always bring a message, and this past Sunday was a special moment. Men were on their knees praising God at the end of the service, singing glory to God in the highest. It was a moment. It was something special. Men with tears running down their faces as they were lifting their arms straight up into the heavens. It was as if an angel had showed up, but the Holy Spirit was there in the room itself and moving around the men. Men were weeping and lifting their hands, but it was better, folks, I have to be honest, than probably in most services that I attended, because they're authentic, they're real, and it's moments in which God shows himself to men who are the outcast, those that are set aside. But for a moment in life, it wasn't busy, and Christmas became real and authentic. Their gift to God, folks, I got to be honest, was just them. Their lives that were broken, a castaways from society, and I think we had a glimpse of what the angels had that night of the encounter with the shepherds. Now let me ask you something this morning, a what if. What if this Christmas with your family you took time to worship Jesus around the tree? You take away the gifts are always important, but you turn on your Spotify or a record or CD of Christmas music and maybe something is simply from your cell phone, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your family. You take a moment of separation, a moment from the busyness, the moment from the commercialism of the Christmas time itself, and spend family time praising and worshiping Jesus. For he was once a child in a manger, but today he sits at the right hand of the Father, and we know he's coming again. Some of you might be saying, but hey, my family doesn't all believe, and that would be a big ask for my family. And I got to be honest, I understand, and trust me, not all my family has faith like myself, but it's Christmas and we are called to share the good news of the gospel, aren't we? And I think what a gift to possibly a hard heart that could be cracked. Remember, the shepherds were terrified, both with the angels as well, but God still worked in the moment. We read multiple times in the Bible to fear not, right? Do you fear man more, or do you fear God? But let's get to our next point this morning as we continue our story with the shepherds. And my point number two is this, that the army has come. And I'm going to show you that in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. And it says this, "Suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased.'" What a beautiful moment that must have been for those shepherds that night. Life wasn't easy in the day of Christ, nor is it easy even for us today. Taxes were high, morals were continued to slide, and politics was at its heightened moment. Sounds like a lot of how we live our lives today in the world that we live in. And I think more and more families feel the financial crunch of this time of the year, and just not enough at the end of the day, let alone for the time of Christmas. But yet we see these moments of where the angels are singing, and you'll see the army of the heavenly host singing about peace. And for the peace it means for the Jew, it means the word shalom. And what shalom means, folks, it means well-being, health, prosperity, security, soundness, and completeness. We could use a lot more shalom in our day with well-wishers in our own society. When I was in Israel, shalom is always the first greeting upon the meeting of anyone that you meet. It's hard to find a person of peace this time of year, let alone in life itself. We're busy. We have the Christmas push. Then it's tax season. And yes, here comes the cold of January, February, and even March. There is no shalom that is found anywhere in sight. This week, I had stopped and took a moment at the hospice house to visit my aunt, and she has cancer, and she's very much as her mind is going into dementia, and she matter of fact she didn't recognize me. I'm now bearded going into the wintertime, and she didn't know exactly who I was. But life is, for her, has become very simple. She spends most of her day watching a cat with the little kittens and the birds outside, and she doesn't know how her health predicament really is. But in my mind, when I see her, she's peaceful. There's no longer the cares of the world. What matters most is family visits with hugs and kisses. She lived a good life, and she's found peace and shalom with the Lord. When I stopped in that evening, she was there with her daughter, sitting on a couch, and they were visiting. And I got sent a special note from my cousin, just thanking me for stopping by. And she says how she's been there for 5 days and not many visitors, and after a while, you run out of things to say. But I just assured her in the moments of the peace that she has with her mother that she's finishing well and that she's loving her mother well in the moments that she has on this earth. But see, folks, I don't want to miss out on the importance of the shepherds either in the special moments that they had with the heavenly armies. It was as if the Mormon tabernacle had now showed up in the sky and they were in the awe of what they saw and what they heard. It was all about Jesus' glory. He comes, he's arrived, and the folks, he's coming again. And don't miss the worship time and the praise time to praise Jesus himself, King Jesus. With that final note, it comes to say that the angels returned to heaven. But I want us to look back and see what happens next in the marvelous Christmas story. These moments that we take away the busyness of life to where we get back to what the Bible says and look at the prophetic word that is actually happening. Things that have been foretold in the Bible itself. And we'll see this moment as we continue with verse 15. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to the Bethlehem. Let's see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has foretold about. They hurried in the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about the child. All who had heard the shepherds' story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard, seen, and it was exactly how the angels had told them. See, these men, they go right into action. I love this. It's time to go, they say. They left everything and they went to Bethlehem, to the village. It says that they hurried and left. I bet the old man ran right with the young men to see baby Jesus because the angels had foretold them in that starry sky that the angels and the birth of the baby Jesus. When my wife and I, when we go to Colorado Springs, and just recently we did that over Thanksgiving, and there was a sense of expectation as we traveled, and especially that last hour just to see our kids and our grandkids. But that last hour, it seemed like it took forever. And when we pulled in, the grandkids were waiting and looking out the window. I hurried out of the door, and they jumped into my arms, and hugs and kisses were all over. And it was what a wonderful expectation of a moment. Moments are important, and generally they aren't. You don't get do-overs in the moments, do you? I have a good friend of mine named Tony, and he's going to be a grandpa soon with his son, tentatively in the month of March, and his daughter-in-law is fully pregnant, and it's his first grandbaby, the first grandbaby that's from his blood, from his son. And he was sharing with me about the moment of that he had with her, and he asked her if he could actually touch her belly. He wanted to touch the baby that was in her womb, and he asked her if he would allow her, and obviously she granted him the moment, and he said it was incredible. His granddaughter's in the womb, and he can't wait to see her. He told me that he's going to hurry to Alabama when the baby is born, and not a busy hurry, but what I would call an expectant hurry as he makes those traveling, can't wait because it's been a 9-month duration with the expectancy of his first grandchild. And I think that's how it was for the shepherds. And let's go, guys. And when they got there, they found Mary and Joseph and a baby in a manger. He was in a manger surrounded by other animals, a king in a stable, a humble beginning. I remember my firstborn as well, back as it wasn't like it is today, where you could actually know the sex so readily and so easily. I can remember when my son, when he was being born, and the head crowned, and then the shoulders, and then boom, he was out. The most beautiful baby I had ever seen in my life with my son, my firstborn. And he came with a set of lungs, crying, just crying and bellowing at the moment. But what a moment it was. I told everyone I had a son, and his name was Brandon. A moment I'll never forget in my life. See, that's a moment that the shepherds would never forget. They got to see the king of the world first. The outcasts of society saw him first. Isn't that how God always works? He comes to the lowly, the broken, and the overlooked. God knew the shepherds would be obedient and get the word out. And that's exactly what it says. My Bible says this, that those men went and they told everyone. They proclaimed the glory of the Lord to everyone they met. We've seen the Lord today, born in the manger, just like the prophet Micah in 5:2 has spoken about. The prophet proclaimed it, and today we got to see it happen. It says they went out and told everyone. They told them about the experience of the moment of the angels. They told them about the experience of the moment where they found Mary and Joseph and a baby that was born in strips of cloth, born in a manger. Folks, we have to be reminded every year about the beginnings, and it's time, yes, we no longer serve a baby Jesus, but we serve a king that has came and went to a cross for our sins, and also, too, that was risen from the dead. Folks, I'm always gracious at this time of year, at the time of when we get an opportunity to share about the good news about Jesus. It's more than just celebration of a newborn child, but of a king that has come. He's been here, and a king that's coming again. And I'm always reminded at this time of year, and I'm gonna ask you a question as we think about the busyness of life, the busyness of Christmas itself. When was the last time that you truly proclaimed the glory of the Lord himself? That you shared the good news of John 3:16, that Jesus has come and the Christ will be returning again. Folks, it's a day of urgency, and I'm always reminded by that. You don't have to sit down and see and watch the news all too long of the devastation that we see around the world. We see the pain and the hurts. We see it amongst the nations, and we also see it within our own nation. As our nation continues to go back and forth of what I call the decline, the places of where people and parties are broken between each other, pointing fingers and looking that a president is going to truly change everything. Folks, I don't care what president that we have. I don't care what party that he's in, whether he's a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent. Folks, no one person can save and change and do the things that our world needs. We need Jesus. We need to look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one that can make the difference and will make the difference in the lives of the person who's actually put in that kind of authority. We need to recognize that authority and also to be obedient to that authority and pray for that person who is leading our country, no matter whether you agree with that person or you don't. Where is your heart? And as folks, I don't know about you, but I've never had in my lifetime as I look in 2020, I've never had a year, even in the busyness of life, and also too, we've had a successful year. But I've never had a year that I have battled hardness of heart like I've had this year. Maybe you're the same way. You're battling the hardness of heart. People have hurt you, or things have come, and it has caused for you, in order to protect your heart, you've got to build this wall around it. And folks, maybe that's you. Maybe this time of the Christmas season, you have allowed the busyness and the brokenness of the season itself to create in you a hardness of heart. And maybe you're like me, that simply you got to cry out in moments like this and take moments of when a homeless man will show up at a door, that you show compassion because you know that helps bring cracks in the hardness of the wall itself. Or maybe when you have moments of you've got a family member who's away, that's a shut-in, or that they're in a hospice house, or maybe they're in the hospital. I got to go this week and see a man who is actually my age, a man who has been in ministry, a man who's an evangelist and on fire for God. He had a brain aneurysm about 2 weeks ago, and now he's up in Des Moines. He could barely speak to me. He can't hardly walk. And I saw the desperation as I looked at his wife. But I tell you, folks, what matters most when I saw them was moments of just simply that somebody stopped by and simply cared. Folks, that's what Christmas is, taking moments. Taking moments of listening, taking moments of realizing who God is, and that we get to share the good news and show compassion on other people. I pray that this Christmas and the busyness of life itself, that you don't get too busy of taking moments of the obscurity of people around you. Maybe people in the mall, you take notice. You take notice of people who are simply sad, or maybe simply buy a cup of coffee for the person behind. Or maybe you're in a long line and you're waiting at your local McDonald's or whatever it might be, and you pay for the person behind you. You just love on them and you just pass it on. I think, folks, those are the things that help us in the busyness of life itself in the time of Christmas, to help the hardness of heart, to push away the bitterness and the things that the world tries to put upon us, that we can truly find the moments in which Jesus came and the purpose in our own life, to where we simply share with other people. I pray that you will not be too busy for this time of Christmas. Next week, we're going to actually look at the moments that Mary held. It says, and as we just read, that Mary held in her heart the moments that she had seen when the shepherds had come, and the proclamation of the good news that angels had actually visited the shepherds themselves. And it said that throughout her life that she held on to those moments. We're going to look in her story deeper next week in the busyness of this Christmas season, of what Mary experienced, of how she held not only the Savior of the world, but her Savior as well, her Son. May I pray with you this morning before we close. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day, the opportunity that where we can come out of the busyness of life itself, that where we can take moments and share of experiences and life lessons that we learn along the way. I pray that maybe somebody even listening to my voice today would say, you know what? I'm fighting the hardness of life and the busyness of Christmas itself, that I've lost the experience of the Christmas message, the Christmas season. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll come upon them. Maybe they're traveling or they're sitting at home today and they're listening. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you will come upon them like you did, like the angels had came to the shepherds. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have come alongside them and let them know that you're there, that Jesus has not forgotten them, that he cares and he loves them right where they are. And we thank you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Again, folks, I want to thank you for participating in the busyness of Christmas itself, that you would take time to listen. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.